Praise the Lord, everyone.
Well,
it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and we're going to spend it the best way I know how. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to worship God for a while. And then, of course, we're going to study His Word. Before we do anything, though, we do need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy perfect will be done. We ask that Thy presence would be here this morning. We ask that Thou wouldst move in a mighty and powerful way. We ask that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst truly inspire us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 95 in the hymnal this morning, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
Came into my heart.
floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, glory to God. You know, when Jesus comes into your heart, you're different. You're never the same again as long as He's in your heart. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we do have so much to be thankful for. Why don't we go to number 43 and sing Count Your Blessings. Sometimes we might think we have it bad, but when you start counting those blessings, you realize you have a lot more than you thought you had. And more important than anything, you have salvation. Praise the Lord. No greater blessing than that. Glory to God. And we do have a Savior who is also our friend, a dear friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the best friend we could possibly have, the Lord Jesus. So why don't we sing number 44, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Friend, a true friend. We have no other friend like him. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, sometimes we feel weak. We feel like we can't get things done. But I tell you what, through God's grace and through His Spirit, we have strength in that. Why don't we go to number 140 and sing By My Spirit.
By my
saith the Lord of hosts, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a river in your path, a river deep and wide? Step in, the waters will go back, you'll reach the other side. Not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a fiery furnace trial, far more than you can bear? Behold, the blessed Son of God is walking with you there. Not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Then trust alone the mighty God, he speaks, the winds obey. Take courage then, O fainting heart, for you he'll make a way. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, as another song that just popped into my head that I feel like singing, so we're going to go ahead and sing it. Number 84, More Abundantly. Praise the Lord. Trusting Jesus all along the way, does he grow more precious to your heart? heart each day. Are you His disciple? Test His word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. For His matchless favor, magnify the name of our gracious Savior, who from glory came. Let the saints adore Him for this wondrous word, sealing our redemption through the crimson flood. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, come to Him believing, hearken to His call, all from Him receiving, yield to Him your all. Jesus will accept you when to Him you flee. He will grant His blessings more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, our Savior has promised us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, could I get you to do that for us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power, that Thou hast brought us here and kept us here for so many years. We thank Thee for Thy many abundant blessings, for we know that without Thee we couldn't be here and we could do nothing. And we pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and we also pray that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give, and we ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy glory. We pray this in Jesus' name, for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we go into the Word. And number 328, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I'll love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Praise the Lord, and He truly is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, it's time to get into the Word. And it's always a wonderful thing to do. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be talking about something very important today. I'm going to call this message a heart-to-heart talk with God. And we're going to be talking about prayer. Because prayer is very, very important. We're going to be starting this morning in Mark chapter 11. But before I read even one verse, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking, O God, that thou wouldst be here, asking, O God, that thou wouldst make us ready to receive thy word, asking that thou wouldst prepare our hearts. For we know, O God, that it is only by thy grace that we are here, and only by thy grace we can understand what we read. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst guide us by thy Spirit as we study thy word. We ask, O God, for thy will to be done here today. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would move. We ask for thy inspiration. We ask for thy guidance. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst open our hearts this morning. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to be starting in Mark chapter 11. And, you know, it's one of those situations in this chapter where you could start later on in the chapter and kind of zero in on the main point of emphasis, but I'm just going to start with verse 1 because, I don't know, I want to get a running start at it, and it seemed like a good place to start, so we're going to do that. And it's, of course, a wonderful chapter. They're all wonderful, but I like this one a lot. Mark chapter 11. And verse 1 tells us, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt, tied whereon never man sat, loose him, and bring him. Now Jesus was able to tell them about this because he knew exactly what was going to happen. Because Jesus, when he was here on earth, he was both God and man. And God knows everything, so he knows where you can find a colt tied, and he knows exactly what you need to say to the people there so that they'll let you take that colt, and he can work out all the details ahead of time, and he's done that so many times for us too, praise the Lord. Verse 3, And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. So just as Jesus had said, they found that colt exactly where Jesus said it would be. And you know, when Jesus says something, it's truth every time. It's impossible for God to lie. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. So they're asking, What are you doing? And they said, Well, we need this colt for Jesus. And apparently they agreed to that, which may seem unusual, but God can prepare people's hearts. And when they heard that Jesus needed that colt, they said, That's fine, go ahead and take it. Verse 7, And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. So there was some excitement here. Jesus, he was riding this colt, which was a fulfillment of prophecy. But he's riding this colt, and they're throwing their garments down in the way and cutting down branches of the trees. And verse 9 tells us, And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! And of course, we know that Hosanna means save now. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, at this time, they thought that Jesus would be establishing an earthly kingdom and overthrowing the Roman Empire, but that's not what he came to do. He came to save our souls. He said, My kingdom is not of this world. And he did establish his kingdom, a kingdom which will never be destroyed. If you read Daniel 2:44, it will tell you that. And he did establish that kingdom, but it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom. Verse 11, And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he went into Jerusalem, he entered into Jerusalem, and he was looking around. He was looking around, seeing what was going on. And now something that's going to seem very strange happens. It's evening time now, it tells us. And they went out with the 12. And verse 12 tells us, And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. So it's the next day now. And he's going to see a fig tree. And verse 13 tells us, And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. So Jesus, he saw this fig tree afar off, and he was hoping there would be something on it that he could eat. He was hungry. And, you know, people might look at that and say, Well, it wasn't the time of the figs, so why did he do this? Well, even during that time, there still should have been something. But there was nothing. There was only leaves. There was no fruit. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And of course, that may sound pretty extreme, but Jesus had a reason for doing that. And by the way, throughout the scriptures, in the Old Testament and so forth, the nation of Israel is often referred to as the fig tree. And in the New Covenant, the New Church, the Christian people are referred to as the olive tree. But it's kind of interesting here that he cursed this fig tree because they weren't producing any fruit, just as the nation of Israel was not producing good fruit at this time. Verse 15, And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now Jesus, when he went in there and he saw all that business happening in the temple, it made him angry. There are only a few instances in the Bible when Jesus is said to be angry, and this was one of those occasions, because the people there in that temple, they had made merchandise of it. I guess you could call it the relig biz, and they were turning quite a tidy profit. And one of the ways they would do that, they had money changers there, because they would say, okay, well, you have to give your tithes, but you can't use money that has Caesar's inscription on it. God won't accept that. So they had to change it out for money that did not have Caesar's inscription on it. And they made a profit on that, on every transaction, every trade-in. And God saw that. Jesus saw that. It angered him. Because, you know, when you serve the Lord, when you have a ministry, it's not supposed to be about making money. It's supposed to be about proclaiming the kingdom and doing the will of God. You know, if you want to get rich, you need to go out and do something else, I guess. But, you know, there are a lot of rich televangelists and so forth, and they deceive people into giving them money. Lots and lots of money. And it's a horrible thing. That does not please the Lord. And you know, a lot of those guys out there, they'll preach a prosperity gospel. They'll say, if you just send us money, you're going to be so blessed. The more you send, the more God's going to give you, the richer you'll become. And you know, that's not necessarily the case. God doesn't intend for everyone to be rich. He does allow it sometimes. And if he has blessed you with great abundance, well, praise the Lord for that. But don't set your heart upon it. But what we see here going on in the temple, they turned it into a den of merchandise. They made merchandise of God's temple. And that angered Jesus. I'll read 15 again. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So he was angry. He went in there, he turned those tables over, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. You know, it was supposed to be a place where you could go and worship God and pray. And it's interesting here, he says, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. Yeah. Yeah. He's including everybody in that. But he tells them, But ye have made it a den of thieves. He told them, You are robbing the people. You're thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. So now, obviously, you would expect that to upset the chief priests and the scribes and so forth, because that's how they made their money. They were getting rich off this. And Jesus was ruining that. So we see here that made Jesus angry. He overthrew those money changers and their tables and so forth. But verse 20, this is the area of the chapter I really wanted to focus on. Verse 20 tells us, And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And just as Jesus had said, no man would eat fruit of that tree again, and it withered up fast. That was astonishing to his disciples when they saw that. Yes, Jesus proclaimed that no fruit would be eaten from that tree ever again, but they weren't expecting that to happen so quickly. But when Jesus says something, it comes to pass, and sometimes it comes to pass very quickly, very fast. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. He's telling them, you need to have faith in God. When you pray, you need to believe that God will answer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, if we had faith strong enough to believe that God will give us what we're asking for, he would answer our prayers. But we gotta have faith. And obviously it would take a great deal of faith to believe that a mountain would be removed. But if we had faith strong enough to believe it, that mountain would be removed.
Amen.
The scriptures tell us that. And you can apply that not only to mountains in this world, but mountains of problems in your own life. Whatever it may be. Believe the Lord. Don't doubt. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now we need to understand what this is referring to is when we pray within the will of God, it doesn't mean we can just ask for foolish things. You can't just ask for God to drop you a Rolls Royce out of heaven. That's not going to work. In fact, I believe it's the book of James you read there. He tells you that as long as the reason certain prayers aren't answered is because they're asking amiss. And, you know, if you're asking for foolish things, you probably won't get them. But when you ask within the will of God, in faith, nothing wavering, no doubt, that's when you see answers to prayer. And I tell you what, when you see an answer to prayer, that builds your faith. And your faith gets stronger. When you pray, that is a direct connection to God. That is a heart-to-heart talk with God. And it is so important that we pray each and every day. Because if you don't pray, you won't have that strength you need. When you pray, that strengthens you. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And that's another thing. When you pray, you have to pray with a forgiving heart. You have to forgive those who have trespassed against you. Sometimes people pray and they don't get an answer. They might wonder why. Well, maybe there's some unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe there's someone you haven't forgiven completely. And that can prevent your prayers from being answered also. That's what Jesus is warning us about right here. If ye have aught against any, you must forgive those that we have aught against, whatever it may be, whatever it is. Let it go. Let it be in the past. Forget about it. And you know, when you do forgive someone, you don't dredge it up anymore. You don't keep bringing it up later. And yes, I forgive you, but remember that time you did that awful thing? No, that's not how it works. You see, God doesn't do that to us. When we pray and repent of our sins, He takes our sins away. And He doesn't even remember them anymore. That's what the scriptures tell us. He chooses to forget our sins. He can do that because He's God and He can do anything. And it's as if those sins never happened. So we need to remember that. Sometimes the devil might try to come back and torment you and say, remember back when you used to do all those horrible things. Well, don't let him do that, because if you've truly repented of those things, they're gone. Praise the Lord. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Praise the Lord. So we see how important forgiveness is. You know, if you have an unforgiving heart, that could prevent your prayers from being answered. Sometimes people wonder, well, why? I'm praying so much about these things, why haven't I heard anything yet? There just might be unforgiveness in your heart. So sometimes we need to search our hearts, pour everything out before God, have that heart-to-heart talk with Him. And if there is any unforgiveness in your heart, get rid of it. You don't need that. You don't want that. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the book of, Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 11. And Jesus, he's going to teach his disciples something about prayer. And this portion of Scripture, along with a portion of Scripture in the book of Matthew, is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So that's good. One of his disciples, it doesn't say which one there, but one of his disciples came up to him and he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Sometimes, you know, maybe we need to do that too. Lord, teach us to pray. Verse 2, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." Now, we need to remember that this is an example of a prayer, a guideline, a template, if you will, for prayer. You don't have to pray this specific prayer every time. And, you know, I know the Catholic people tend to do that. They tend to do it so much, in fact, that it starts to lose meaning. "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." Now, that seems appropriate. And, of course, we know that today is Father's Day, so today is a very good day to have a talk with your Father in heaven. "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We bring honor and glory to his name because he is worthy of that honor and glory. His name is holy. Praise the Lord. Set apart from all other names. In fact, it's a name that is above every other name. We looked at that last week. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." When we pray, we should always ask that the Lord's will be done. Not our own will, but God's will. That's what we need. The Lord's will be done. "Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread." And yes, we should always remember to thank God for our food. I know sometimes when we're busy, we might forget to do that, but we should remember. We should always thank him for what he has given us because he has blessed us in so many ways. "Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. And we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." We ask God to forgive our sins. We repent of our sins. And we also forgive others. Anyone who may have ever wronged us, we must forgive them. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Praise the Lord. Jesus can deliver you from evil. Just ask him to. You know, sometimes you're gonna feel temptation in this world, maybe to do things you shouldn't do. But if you start praying, there's strength in that. If you start praying, he can deliver you from evil. He can deliver you from that temptation. Praise the Lord. And verse 5 tells us, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he come from within, and he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." So he's giving an example here, a story. He's talking about a man who has a friend. He goes to see his friend because he has a visitor. He needs something to set before his friend because he has nothing to give him. So he goes and knocks on his neighbor's door. Of course, at first the neighbor doesn't want to give him anything because it's late. He's sleeping. His children are asleep. "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." You know, sometimes in your prayers you need to be persistent. You know, if you just pray for 5 minutes and give up, "Oh, God didn't answer, I guess I'll stop, I guess I'll quit." Well, then you're not going to get an answer to prayer. Sometimes you have to keep praying and praying and praying and don't give up. Some things you might even have to pray for years, but God will answer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So he's telling us here, you need to be persistent. Keep asking. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So he's saying, first you have to ask, then you have to seek. And you know, and just doing a quick prayer, that's not really seeking, is it? You have to put something into it. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You have to seek and keep seeking until you get a response, until you hear from the Lord. You know, our prayer life, it shouldn't be a one-way conversation. Yes, God does answer prayers. Sometimes it takes a while to get that answer, and sometimes we have trouble receiving that answer because we're not in tune with the Lord. Sometimes there's too many distractions. Sometimes we're too carnally minded. So sometimes you might have to pray for hours and hours and hours at a time. Sometimes you might need to pray all night if you're desperate enough. And sometimes we need to be desperate. It seems like sometimes we have it too easy. The easier it is, the less we pray. But when people are in trouble, that's when they really seek the Lord. That's when they really are thinking on the Lord and asking Him to answer their prayers. But I tell you what, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray each and every day, not just when we need the Lord to give us something or help us in some way, but we should have prayer, prayers of gratitude, prayers of repentance if need be, daily prayers, a daily prayer life. We don't just seek Him when we need Him. You know, some people are like that, and parents might be able to relate to that. Sometimes you only hear from your children when they need something from you, or maybe you have a friend that you only hear from when they need something. Don't be like that with God. Don't just seek Him when you're looking to get something out of it, when you're in trouble. Seek Him each and every day. The more you seek Him, the more you pray, the more in tune you'll be with Him. Because prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God. It's a direct connection to God. And each and every time you pray, that connection gets stronger. But if you don't pray, that connection gets weaker, to the point you lose all discernment. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And of course we know that it requires faith. And the more you see prayers answered, the more your faith will grow. Have you ever had a prayer answered? And you know, sometimes you tell people about your prayers that are answered, and they say, well, that's just a coincidence, but I don't believe in that. No, when you pray and it's answered, you need to give God the glory, because He does hear our prayers. I know when the first year, this was would have been back in 2010, the first year I was left in as caretaker of this ministry, I was a little worried. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I remember praying one night, just seeking the Lord, and I told Him, Lord, I don't care about making a profit in this ministry. I want to have enough to operate. If we broke even, I would be tremendously satisfied and happy with that. And I remember at the end of the year, it was kind of amazing. We broke even. Exactly what I had asked for. And, you know, God, He does hear our prayers. I remember one time, my wife, she wasn't feeling well. She was in a lot of pain. She had a headache, and I believe this was actually the day after, or maybe the day of, that we had gone to the hospital. She had an allergic reaction, so they pumped her full of all kinds of medication and so forth, and she was in a lot of pain and really feeling out of it. I think the medication made her feel worse than she would have otherwise, but I remember she asked me to pray for her, and she said, I started praying for her, you know, and she said, you know, when you put your hand on me, all the pain went away. And when you took your hand off, it came back. So I just kept praying for her. I kept my hand on her for quite some time. And, you know, God does hear our prayers. He does heal us. And sometimes, you know, it's even little things. Things that may not seem very important in the big scheme of things. I know last month when we were wanting to have our picnic, The forecast for that day was rain, and it rained the day before. It was supposed to rain that day, and it did rain a little bit before the picnic, but while we were there, it did not. And then it started raining the day after again. So, praise the Lord. You can pray and ask God even to stop the rain, and sometimes He'll even do that for you. If you believe He'll do it, praise the Lord. And when you see answers to prayer like that, your faith gets stronger. Your faith builds. And you'll see miracles in some cases. I know my dad often talked about that, some of the prayers that he saw answered. I remember him talking about the time he went and prayed for a man. And, they thought he would be dying. And he went in there to pray for him. And he put his hand on him and he said, "Jesus." And as soon as he just said that word, that name, that mighty name above every name, that man started to recover that quickly. Praise the Lord. Our prayers work. They make a difference. And when you start to see your prayers answered, you're going to want to pray more. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" You know, Jesus loves us, and He's not going to give us bad things when we pray. He has good things for us if we would just believe that He's able to provide for us, to give us what we need. "Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And you know, it's getting to the point these days you might have to ask him for an egg. And if that bird flew out there, the cost of eggs, a lot of places, they're going up. And in some places, I believe down in Texas, some stores are now rationing their eggs. They let you buy, I think, 2 packs, 2 dozen, and that's it. That's the limit. That's all you can have. And we might see more of that if this bird flu situation gets any worse. So yeah, we might have to pray for eggs. You never know. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And that's another thing we need to do. We need to pray and ask God for the Holy Ghost. And He will give it. That's another prayer we need to pray. We need that Spirit. Amen. Of God dwelling inside us, that Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something else we need to pray for. So yes, we see how important prayer is. And Jesus had quite a bit more to say about prayer. We're going to go now to the book of Matthew. And we are going to see another instance where this is actually part of the Sermon on the Mount. He's going to tell us some things about prayer. And actually, Matthew chapter 6, that's what I'm looking for. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is going to tell us again about prayer, and we're going to see the Lord's Prayer again. And I believe that this was a different instance than before, because in the book of Luke in the 11th chapter there, when it talked about the Lord's Prayer, we know that it was a different situation. And Jesus had been praying, and a disciple came to Him and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. So I believe that was a different incident there. But Jesus, here He's going to talk about it. And of course, we know the Sermon on the Mount. It was the greatest sermon ever preached. He's going to give us a lot of good things here. But we're focusing on prayer today. So we're going to start in the chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 5, which tells us, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." You know, some people only pray to be seen praying. There's nothing wrong with praying in public. But if you're just praying to be seen of men, well, your only reward is going to be that you're seen of men. And, you know, some people, they only pray when they're around other people. But we need to pray without ceasing. We need to be praying each and every day, not just when people are around to see it and hear it. We need to always pray. But for those people who do that, their only reward is that people are seeing and hearing them pray. And you know, when you look at what Jesus is telling them here, he's telling them your prayers aren't going to be answered because your only reward is going to be that they've seen you praying. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And you know, it seems like every false religion out there uses vain repetition. You're not supposed to use vain repetition when you pray, because prayer, like I said, is a heart-to-heart talk with God. Just speak your heart when you talk to the Lord. Pour your heart out to Him. Tell Him everything that may be bothering you, everything that you need to repent of, any problems you might be having in your life, your struggles and so forth. Just have that heart-to-heart talk with God. And you might as well tell God the truth, be completely honest with Him, because He already knows the truth anyway. You can't hide anything from Him. But don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. It seems like every false religion out there, they've got some vain repetitions they do over and over again. And the Catholics, it's ironic because Jesus says right here, not use vain repetitions. And then they take the subsequent verses that we're about to read and they turn it into vain repetition. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. And people might read that and wonder, well, since Jesus already knows what we need, why should we have to pray? Well, it's to condition us to receive what God has for us. And maybe sometimes the reason it takes so long to get an answer to prayer is because we're not ready to receive. Our hearts need to be ready. They need to be prepared. It's for us. The prayer strengthens us. Yes, God knows what we need, but we need to be ready to receive what He has for us, and that's why we pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we see here the importance of prayer. And He gives us an example, a guideline of how we can pray. But we don't pray that specific prayer every time. And you know, sometimes it might be all right to recite the Lord's Prayer. It is Scripture, that's fine. But don't do it in a vain, repetitious way to the point where it loses all meaning. You know, a lot of churches, they'll do that. And you hear it so much, they don't even think about it. You know, they just repeat the words. But we need to have a heart-to-heart talk with God. It needs to be spoken from our heart. And when we do that, God hears us, and He changes us, He perfects us, He makes us what we need to be. That's why prayer is so important. We're going to go now to Luke chapter 18. And Jesus is going to tell us some more about prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 tells us, And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why does He say this? Always to pray and not to faint. Because if you don't pray, you won't have that strength that you need to get through this world, and you will faint.
That's right.
We draw strength from those prayers because it's a direct connection to God. We find strength in that. That's why we must always pray. Always to pray and not to faint. Each and every day. That's how important prayer is. Saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Well, that's horrible. And I think there are probably a lot of judges out there like that today. Probably on the Supreme Court. They don't fear God. They don't regard man. In fact, in their minds, they are little gods. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And you know, it may take a while sometimes. When it says he will avenge them speedily, it may take a little while for your prayers to be answered. But when he does answer those prayers, it happens quickly, speedily. But we see sometimes that we have to be persistent. We have to keep praying. Keep praying until you get that answer. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now a publican, that was a word for tax collectors back in that day, and they were disliked by all. And there was a lot of fraud that took place and so forth. And you could say that most publicans are probably in dire need of repentance. But we see here, there's a Pharisee and a Republican. They've gone up to the temple, two men. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can you imagine this? This Pharisee standing there and he's praying, Oh God, I thank you so much that I'm not like this guy over here. That's not how you're supposed to pray. If you pray like that, you're not going to get an answer. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he's telling God how wonderful he thinks he is. But the publican, he wasn't doing that, was he? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A prayer of repentance, crying out from his heart. He was having a heart-to-heart talk with God. A direct connection with God. And you know, when you pray like that, this man, it tells us in the scriptures that it was the publican who went away justified, not the Pharisee, the self-righteous Pharisee, who went and prayed to tell God how wonderful he was. And when you stop and think about it, it wasn't really even a prayer. He was just bragging on himself. God isn't going to hear that. He's not going to bless a man for praying in such a manner. But the publican, he was so ashamed of his sins that he couldn't even look up. But he cried out for his heart. He cried out from his heart and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We have to pray in humility. We have to be humble before the Lord, not proud, not boastful. If you go to boast before the Lord, he's not going to hear that prayer. But when you cry out from the heart, that prayer he will hear.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to go to one more place in Scripture before closing. Well, actually, we might be going to two places. But one of them is very short. But for now, I want to go to Psalm 51. You know, when you cry out to God, He will hear you. And sometimes we need to cry out in repentance if there's anything we haven't repented of. And if you've never cried out to God in repentance, well, then you definitely need to do it. And I would recommend doing that as soon as you possibly can. You don't want to have any sin in your life. When you pray in repentance, God will wash it away. He will cleanse you of that sin. Psalm 51, verse 1. And what this psalm is really a prayer. It's a prayer from David. And this happened shortly after that incident where he had sinned. and gone in unto a woman he shouldn't have, Bathsheba. But now we see he's crying out to God in repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And he will do that if you cry out to him from the heart. From the heart. It's very important that it be from the heart, not vain repetitions, not following a specific formula. Don't worry about having flowery words. Don't worry about sounding sophisticated when you're calling out to God. Just speak from your heart. Speak from your heart. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And we know that Jesus cleanses us from our sins with his very blood. With that blood that was shed for us, he cleanses our sins. He washes us and makes us white as snow. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. When Jesus cleanses our hearts, he makes them whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Praise the Lord, and he will do that for you if you truly repent. And this should be the desire of our hearts. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And sometimes, you know, when you're out in the world, interacting with the world, and there's all that sin around you going on all the time, it gunks you up. But if you come before God and you ask him to create a clean heart within you, renew that right spirit within you, when you do that, he will answer. And he will cleanse you and make you clean. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Praise the Lord. And we know that there is great joy in his salvation. When we come to the realization that he has saved our souls, that he has washed our sins away, there is joy in that. Praise the Lord. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. You know, when you come before God and you repent of your sins and you have that heart-to-heart talk, he does hear, and he will cleanse you of those sins, and he will accept that sacrifice of your heart. He's not interested in burning animals, burnt sacrifices, but he wants you to give him your heart. Amen. That's what we need to do. Amen. And we do that when we pray. It's important that we always pray, otherwise we are going to faint. Verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You know, before you can offer anything to the Lord, you need to have your heart cleansed. That's the first thing you offer him, your heart. Give it to him and he will cleanse you. Praise the Lord. We're just going to go to one final place, and it's going to be in the book of James. James chapter 5, we're going to read a small portion of this chapter. We're going to see how important prayer is in our day-to-day lives. We need to have a prayer life. We need to have that direct connection to God. We need to have that heart-to-heart talk with God. And you know, you can never pray too much. you're never at a point where you've just, I prayed too much, too much prayer, I better stop. No, that's not how it works. It's impossible to pray too much. And my dad always used to say, people would ask him, how long should I pray? And he would always tell them, pray until you don't want to stop. Pray until you're to that point where you're so full of the Spirit of God, that connection to God is so strong you don't even want to quit. You might pray for hours and hours and hours. And the wonderful thing about prayer, you can pray anywhere. You can pray in your car. It's a good time for it, actually. And of course, you can pray when you're home. You can pray at work, whatever the case may be. And even if your bosses may not like it, you can pray. What are they going to do to stop you? Praise the Lord. Prayer, it's so important. We got to have a prayer life. And the more we pray, the stronger our prayers will get. You can be a prayer warrior. James chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 13. It tells us, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You know, it's wonderful to pray for healing and to receive healing from the Lord. That's wonderful. It's miraculous. And it fills you with great joy when that happens. But more importantly, when we pray and repent, we are forgiven our sins. Any sins we may have committed, we're forgiven of those sins. And that is what's truly important. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And it's important that we pray for each other in the church. Praise the Lord, not just for ourselves. You know, prayers can actually be selfish sometimes if you only ever pray for yourself. Kind of like that Pharisee we just read about. You know, he's a very self-centered prayer, but we need to pray for each other. And yes, it's okay to bring your needs and petitions before the Lord too, but that shouldn't be all you pray for. We need to pray for each other. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praise the Lord. God does hear our prayers. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. But praise the Lord, we see here in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you know, the more you pray, the stronger you grow, the stronger that connection to the Lord is. The stronger that connection grows, you get stronger in the Lord with every prayer. That's why it's so important to pray. And the more you pray, the more of a prayer warrior you become, the more strength you find in your prayers. And it tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does the word fervent mean? Well, I looked that up in the dictionary. And the first definition that it gave for fervent is having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit, feeling, enthusiasm. And then there's a second definition, which is also appropriate. Hot, burning, glowing. Praise the Lord. You know, when you get in the Spirit of God, and some people, they're so full of the Spirit of God, sometimes when they pray, they actually it actually looks as if they're glowing. But we need to be on fire for God. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm, but we want to be hot. And one of the ways you get hot is by praying. You get that connection to God, that connection with heaven. So we see how important it is to pray each and every day. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy word, thanking thee for thy teachings, thanking thee that thou hast taught us to pray. And we ask, O God, that thou hast given us the will to pray without ceasing, to always pray and not to faint, for we know that without that connection to thee, without that heart-to-heart talk with thee, that we would be lost, that we would have no strength, no stability. We know that we would faint without thee, Lord. So we ask, O God, that we would be mindful of thee and never forget how important it is to pray, to always have that constant connection to thee. We ask, O God, for thy inspiration. We ask that these words we read today would not leave us, but that they would go with us and sink down deeply into our hearts. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst create clean hearts within us. Purify us, cleanse us of our sins, Lord. We ask, O God, for thy forgiveness of anything we may have done in the past, any wrongs we may have done, for we know that in repentance thou truly forgivest us. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst cleanse us this day. We ask, O God, for thy strength to walk with thee, to always be connected with thee in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we are going to sing a chorus. And number 8. Actually, Tori requested that we sing this chorus, and it seems appropriate for the day. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Number 8 in the chorus book. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray the Lord to carry me through. You prayed for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray, and I'll pray too. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray the Lord to carry me through. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray, and I'll pray too. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray the Lord to carry me through. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. You pray, and I'll pray too. Praise the Lord. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
deep. Okay, here, let's see here.
Hey, Grandma, want you the money? Grandma, do you want to do the money? Okay, Jane.
Here's the way.
Okay. 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 Are you done?